Praise the Lord, this is Tony Alamo. We're reading through the Bible. We're reading tonight in chapter 8 in the book of Genesis. Let's all take our petitions to the Lord to ask Him to bless this tape, to anoint it, to anoint us as we expound and read His Word. Father, we thank and praise Your holy name for life, and we thank You also, Lord, for life more abundantly. We thank You that whosoever You touch, Your Spirit touches, the river of life touches, that they live. And that means that they also have life abundantly, a life free of sickness, disease, infirmities, pain, everything, Lord, that is evil. We know that evil comes our way, but good health belongs to those that follow Your commandments. That means taking care of ourselves. And Lord, the seeds that we sow in this world are the seeds that are the exact kind of harvest we're going to have. And so seed time is here, and harvest time is here. So Lord, bless this, the meaning of it, into the hearts and the souls, the mind of the spirits of everyone, that we can be edified and stronger each day, to be able to stay one day at a time each day till You come. In Jesus' name we pray, and everyone says amen.
Amen.
All right, chapter 8, and we'll start out with the King James Version, then we'll make some comments here.
King James Version, verse 1. And God remembered Noah and every living thing, and all the cattle that was with him in the ark. And God made a wind to pass over the earth, and the waters assuaged. The flood recedes. Commentary, verse 1. But God remembered Noah and all the animals in the boat. He sent a wind to blow across the waters, and the floods began to disappear. King James Version, verse 2. The fountains also of the deep and the windows of heaven were stopped, and the rain from heaven was restrained.
So this is the God of love everyone talks about. He just drowned everybody in the world. He just killed everyone. He planned their murder. He slaughtered them. Everyone in the world, with the exception of 8 souls, He killed. And you say that God is all love? Well, if you call that love, He hates those that sin, the workers of iniquity, and He hates the government that there is that is existing today, because it's a lawless government, and that's exactly the way it was in the days of Noah. And He stated that just as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the last days, just before He comes back to earth.
Commentary, verse 2. The underground water sources ceased their gushing, and the torrential rains stopped. King James Version, verse 3. And the waters returned from off the earth continually, and after the end of the 150 days, the waters were abated. Commentary, verse 3. So the flood gradually began to recede after 150 days. King James Version, verse 4.
Yeah, that's around 5 months, exactly. All right, then what? He's on the from the day that he boarded the boat. Okay, then what?
King James Version, verse 4. And the ark rested in the 7th month, on the 17th day of the month, upon the mountains of Ararat.
No, I'm saying the mountains of Ararat, because a lot of people think there's just one Mount Ararat. But there are many peaks. It's like a mountain range, Ararat, the Ararat Mountains, like the Rocky Mountains. And a group of people identified the peak that it was on, and one of my friends was there. He was the editor, the religious editor for the a big Washington newspaper. His name is Bill Willoughby, and he brought back a piece of the wood. He said it looked like it was a bunch of made out of railroad ties. And there's no wood in the Ararat Mountains in Turkey, and it's very near Russia, and Iran, in that general area. Okay, so they found it, and there was a huge picture of it on Life magazine about 35 years ago where they found it, and they've just quieted it down. The whole Life magazine was given to Noah's Ark. It is an actual reality found in the very place where the Bible said it was, in the Ararat mountain range. Okay? So the Bible is true. Okay, then what?
Commentary verse 4.
People can still get a copy of that Life magazine, I'm sure. The one regarding Noah's Ark. I imagine people could just look it up on their computer under Noah's Ark and Life magazine, that article, and right on the front cover is the picture of it. It's amazing, amen?
Amen.
And they measured it, and it was the exact dimensions mentioned in the Bible. And there was a door in it, one door, and it was 450 feet long, 75 feet wide, and 45 feet high. And the logs or the timbers that it was made out of looked as old as the hills. Right? Okay, let's go.
Commentary verse 4. Exactly 5 months from the time the flood began, the boat came to rest on the mountains of Ararat.
The mountains of Ararat, not Mount Ararat, okay?
Yes.
Then what?
King James Version, verse 5. And the waters decreased continually until the 10th month. In the 10th month, on the first day of the month, were the tops of the mountains seen.
Right, see, now he's down there 10 months already. Altogether, 12 and a half months. Okay, then, so there's still a couple more months to go and a half, okay? Then what else?
Commentary verse 5. 2.5 months later, as the waters continued to go down, other mountain peaks began to appear. King James Version verse 6. And it came to pass at the end of 40 days that Noah opened the window of the ark which he had made. Commentary verse 6. After another 40 days, Noah opened the window he had made in the boat.
Now that's patience, amen?
Amen.
Patience. Take your time. You know, when God isn't moving, don't do something, even if it's wrong. Amen?
Amen.
Wait on the Lord until you get some clear direction. All right, then what?
King James Version, verse 7. And he sent forth a raven, which went forth to and fro, until the waters were dried up from off the earth. Commentary verse 7. And released a raven that flew back and forth until the day the earth was dry. King James Version verse 8. Also he sent forth a dove from him to see if the waters were abated from off the face of the ground. Commentary verse 8. Then he sent out a dove to see if it could find dry ground. King James Version, verse 9. But the dove found no rest for the sole of her foot, and she returned unto him into the ark, for the waters were on the face of the whole earth. Then he put forth his hand, and took her and pulled her in unto him into the ark. Commentary, verse 9. But the dove found no place to land, because the water was still too high. So it returned to the boat, and Noah held out his hand and drew the dove back inside. King James Version, verse 10. And he stayed yet other 7 days, and again he sent forth the dove out of the ark. Commentary, verse 10. 7 days later, Noah released the dove again. King James Version, verse 11. And the dove came into him in the evening, and lo, in her mouth was an olive leaf plucked off. So Noah knew that the waters were abated from off the earth. Commentary, verse 11. This time, toward evening, The bird returned to him with a fresh olive leaf in its beak. Noah now knew that the water was almost gone. King James Version, verse 12. And he stayed yet other 7 days, and sent forth a dove, which returned not again unto him any more. Commentary, verse 12. A week later, he released the dove again, and this time it did not come back. King James Version, verse 13. And it came to pass in the 601st year, in the first month, the first day of the month, the waters were dried up from off the earth. And Noah removed the covering of the ark, and looked, and behold, the face of the ground was dry. Commentary, verse 13. Finally, when Noah was 601 years old, 10.5 months after the flood began, Noah lifted back the cover to look. The land was drying up. King James Version, verse 14. And in the second month, on the 27th day of the month, was the earth dried. Commentary, verse 14. 2 more months went by, and at last the land was dry! Exclamation mark. King James Version, verse 15. And God spoke unto Noah, saying, Go forth of the ark, thou and thy wife, and thy sons' wives with thee. Commentary, verse 15 and 16. Then God said to Noah, quote, Leave the boat, all of you. King James Version, verse 17. Bring forth with thee every living thing that is with thee, of all flesh, both of fowl and of cattle, and of every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, that they may breed abundantly in the earth, and be fruitful and multiply upon the earth. Commentary, verse 17. Release all the animals and birds, so they can breed and reproduce in great numbers. King James Version, verse 18. And Noah went forth, and his sons, and his wife, and his sons' wives with him. Commentary, verse 18. So Noah, his wife, and his sons, and their wives left the boat. King James Version, verse 19. Every beast, every creeping thing, and every fowl, and whatsoever creepeth upon the earth, after their kinds, went forth out of the ark. Commentary, verse 19. And all the various kinds of animals and birds came out, pair by pair. King James Version, verse 20. And Noah builded an altar unto the Lord, and took of every clean beast, and of every clean fowl, and offered burnt offerings on the altar. Commentary, verse 20. Then Noah built an altar to the Lord, and sacrificed on it the animals and birds that had been approved for that purpose. King James Version, verse 21. And the Lord smelled a sweet savor, and the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground any more for man's sake.
Okay, a lot of people think that he's no longer going to curse man, but he doesn't say that. He says he no longer cursed the world, the earth, okay? Because that he would just have to keep cursing it until it was absolutely destroyed, because he knows that man is evil from the minute that it's born. Human beings are wicked and evil, and they need to be cursed. But he says, I'm not going to curse this fine world, the earth, because of man. And most people think he's saying, well, I'm, because that man is so wonderful that God's not going to curse him. No, that's not it. He's not going to destroy every living creature, because there's going to be saved people, more than Noah, his wife, his three sons, and their wives. So he's not going to kill beasts and everything because of what man does. He's not going to curse the earth because of what man does anymore, until, not with water, but he is going to burn the earth, not to curse it, but to refurbish it, to make it a, to purge it, to make it a good place to live for the people that are not going to be destroyed by the fire. Now that's the way, the right interpretation of that, all right? Then what else?
King James Version, verse 21. And the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground.
See, the ground, not man. Amen?
Amen.
Then what?
I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake.
Because of what man did, okay?
For the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite any more everything living.
Not everything living, but he's going to get some of them. Amen?
Amen.
He didn't swear to not kill people anymore. He didn't repent and become just a God of love. That's not what he's saying. Amen?
Amen.
He's still going to smite. All right, then what?
Commentary, verse 21. And the Lord was pleased with the sacrifice, and said to himself, quote, I will never again curse the earth, destroying all living things, even though people's thoughts and actions are bent toward evil from childhood.
Okay. Why should he punish the earth and every living thing because of what a few people do, or the majority does? Amen?
Amen.
Now, I'll read that again.
And the Lord was pleased with the sacrifice.
Okay, he's pleased with the sacrifice of Noah. Noah gave up burnt offerings in thanksgiving that he didn't get killed, that he was still alive and his family was still alive, that God didn't curse him and destroy him with the rest of the world. Okay, then what?
And the Lord was pleased with the sacrifice and said to himself, quote, I will never again curse the earth, destroying all living things, even though people's thoughts and actions are bent toward evil from childhood.
Right, then go on.
King James Version, verse 22. While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, in cold and heat, and
okay,
some...
Okay, seed time and harvest. He established the law of seed time and the law of harvest. Okay, keep going.
And cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. Commentary, verse 22. While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, and day and night shall not cease.
Now that's the end of the scriptures. Now we're going into the commentary.
Okay, chapter 8, verse 22, commentary. God established the truth of seed and the law of planting seed. Quote, seed time and harvest, which is called seed faith. Noah's first...
Well, why is it called seed faith? Because everything that you do, whether you're conscious of it or not, you're planting something. If you're planting, if you're doing something good, you're planting good seeds. If you're doing something evil, you're planting evil seeds. So whether you're conscious or unconscious of what you're sowing something every day. And whatever you sow, you're going to harvest it. It's going to come back at you just the way the Lord says it will. Okay? Go ahead.
Noah's first acts after the flood were to build an altar and sacrifice to the Lord. God was pleased and made promises to the land to not curse it because of man. Why should the land suffer for evil men again? God also instituted the law of seed time and harvest. Quote, while the earth remains, not as it is forever.
Not as though it is forever, he says, as long as it remains, which means that it's going to burn up. Amen?
Amen.
And later on in the Genesis, he says that he's going to destroy it by fire, and he says it all the way through the Word. Okay? He's not going to destroy, he's going to destroy man, but the world is going to be refurbished. All the evil in heaven, too. There'll be a new heaven and a new earth. But it's this same earth, but it's just going to be burnt and refurbished and all the sin burnt out of it. Same thing with heaven. There was sin in heaven. Satan sinned there, and it's got to be, everything has to be clean now. Burnt. Then what?
Quote, while the earth remains, not as it is forever.
Not as though it were forever. Okay, then what?
Seed time and harvest, ... shall not cease. Verse 22.
No, we're going to keep going.
When God created the first living thing, He gave it the ability to grow and multiply. How? Through the seed. Your life began by the seed principle or law.
Right. You were a seed at one time. That's the law. There has to be a seed planted before you or anything else could exist. Amen?
Amen.
Otherwise, you wouldn't be here. So you have to pay attention to the law of seed and the law of harvest. Because if when your father had relationships with your mother, then you were planted and you came up, whatever. And if your mother and father, well, usually it's whatever they are is what you are. Then what?
Every act of your life since your birth has operated by the seeds you've sown, by the law of the seed principle springing up from the good seeds you have sown, or the bad seeds you have sown, whether or not you were consciously aware of the seeds that you have planted.
Right. Now, if young boys and girls, they sow evil seeds, their Bible says that they have to reap something for that. Amen?
Amen.
And he says, to spare not the rod, let them have it. Otherwise, they will always be evil. And so for their own soul's sake, something has to be done to them. And so when you sow evil, you have to get the harvest for it. And if the parents don't do as the Lord says to the evil little child, the child will always remain evil. It'll wind up in hell. And because you're not sowing the diligence to do what the Lord told you to do with them. And you're going to be responsible for losing their soul. And if you don't report things that are in the church, you're not sowing any seed whatsoever. You're not showing the things that you are a person of the Lord. And therefore you're not sowing the fact that you are a child of the Lord, a son or a daughter of the Lord. And because you don't sow that, that means that you're not that. And so you're going to harvest hell and the lake of fire. There's the law of sowing and the law of harvest. Amen?
Amen.
It's a law. And it was instituted right there when the Lord said there's always going to be seed and the harvest. Amen? Sowing and the harvest. All it'll be that way for the rest of the time. Amen?
Amen.
Said that in verse 22. That's the law. He instituted that law right there. Cold and heat. Winter and summer. Spring and fall. Right then what?
The law of the seed continues today.
Right to this very day. You know, you see people that are breaking the law. Like a person commits... The Lord said that anyone that eats the blood, that they're going to die. Well, why? You notice all kinds of people are dying of cancer. Amen?
Amen.
And well, you hear them ordering rare steaks and eating pork that's rare. Eating pork at all. And eating raw meat, hamburger meat and everything, and then they get gout. And a lot of them are drinking blood. You go down to Mardi Gras, they're eating, drinking swine's blood with beer and everything. And they wonder why they're dying like flies and why there's so many diseases. Because you are sowing into you the things that the Lord says that you're not supposed to. And he says if you do, you're going to reap the harvest of death. You're going to die. He's going to cut you off. Amen?
Amen.
So that's the law of doing what against what the Lord says. You're sowing evil. And you reap death. You're not even supposed to eat the fat of animals. He says the fat belongs to him. Amen?
Amen.
And it's supposed to be burnt. Well, when you eat the fat, he says, or you're going to be cut off. People are dying of heart attacks because their whole arteries in their heart are filled full of fat that they ate off of animals. So you can't beat God, what you sow. You're going to harvest, amen?
Amen.
So that's evil to go against what the Lord says. He says it in a warning manner because of your own good. Amen? For your good. So that's again the law of seed, sowing seed, and reaping the harvest. And he says the soul that sins, they sow sins, their life is nothing but sins. The soul that sins shall surely die. And he says, when you die, your soul is in hell and in the lake of fire. And it happens. Amen?
Amen.
I saw it with my own eyes. Oh my God, we didn't think this was true. These people would be saying in hell, their souls down there. But oh my God, is there no other chance? It's over. It's over. You idiot, it's over. We're here and we can never get out. Oh my God, it was true. Our pastor didn't tell us that. Why didn't we read? We were mocking and laughing and joking, and here we are. We're in this hell. We're in the lake of fire. I thought there was so much pressure from the heat there that there's no possible way they could ever get out. And there's no way they can get escape the heat of the flame. And there's no way they can ever have any refreshments or any kind of rest. And the utter boredom of it, it's like causes people's brains. If they could snap, they would snap, but they can't. That makes it all the worse. Then what?
To overcome life's problems, reach your potential in life, and see your life become fruitful, multiplied, replenished in spirit and in health, and financially, constant spiritual renewal, family and your entire being, make sure to follow God's law of sowing good seeds, seed time and harvest. Sow the seed to reap his promise in the soil of your soul. We are here to glorify God, not ourselves.
Right. You can read all through Psalms in the whole Bible. It says, glory be to God, not to you, not to me. Amen?
Amen.
God called us to glorify him. And the reason for it is because he is wanting to save your soul and my soul. If you were out on the water and you in a boat that capsized and you're swimming around and you say, well, God brags, you know, give me glory and all that. Yes, give me your attention because I want to rescue you. Listen to what I'm saying because my words will rescue you. And you're out on the water swimming and here comes there's a fog and there's a boat saying, I'm here to rescue you. Some captain says that. Are you here? Are you here? If you are, call out to me. What do you think the man's boasting? I have a ship here. I've got strength and power. I can get you on my boat. Will you call him trying to glorify himself?
No.
No, you say, yes, strong man. Yes, captain. Come. I'm over here. Come and save me. Amen?
Amen.
Well, that's what the Lord is saying. Give glory unto the Lord. Amen. All the people of the Lord, because he's calling you. He's saying, I'm powerful. I'm almighty. I am your God, and I want to save you. I want to rescue you. Come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden, and I will give you rest for your soul. Reach your hand out to me, and I'll save you. Praise the Lord. This is Tony Alamo. You've listened to the 8th chapter of the book of Genesis, and tomorrow, Lord willing, we'll do chapter 9. Till then, God bless you real good.